Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Good Life, episode number 17, 7:30 p.m., Thursday, March 8th, 2012. Special show tonight. It's going to be a quick show tonight. We got a big guest coming on, and that's what we're going to do. Before I introduce my co-host today, I want to talk about that real quick, what we're going to do. I read all the feedback, the tweets, and the emails about the type of show we do. We really get a lot of positive feedback. We have 111 people listening now, which is kind of hot because we just tweeted it and Facebooked it in like 2 minutes. So we're going to have Josh Booty, LSU superstar, Florida Marlin world champion, NFL's quarterback. He's going to be on the show. But the big thing with this is anyone who subscribes to the show on blogtalkradio.com, you click on M. Safosnik or just click on the link on Twitter, and it'll email you and text you every time I do a show. So I read all the feedback, and there's two types of shows we do. We do the interview show where we interview Tim Couch, Matt Schaub, Chris Canty, everyone we always talk about, the same guests over and over. We have a lot more coming up. We actually have a couple of wrestlers coming on the show soon. So what everyone does, everyone loves the interview part, and everyone also loves just the guy talk, where we talk about sports or New Orleans or Vegas or just any shit that we kick it with. People love that episode too. So we're either going to do one or the other. We're not going to do a 30-minute interview followed by a 30-minute show. It gets to be too much, and it kills our material. So, but from now on, what we're going to do is we're going to do a regular show. Like today is going to be an interview show. After the interview show, that's it. In a day or two, we're going to get Elwood on the phone from Indiana, listen to all the Peyton Manning stuff. He's probably heartbroken, and if he didn't kill himself right now, I'd be shocked. I'm pretty sure Elwood's dead, but what are you going to do? I'm going to introduce the co-host. No funny jokes tonight. He actually asked me to put on a special song for him. So here he is. Here's the co-host right now.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack Mr. Magic Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Wait.
Welcome to the show, LB. LB, what's the significance of that call? Why do you want that song on the radio?
The greatest rapper of all time died on March 9th. So in, you know, for Biggie, for the East Coast, we pumped a little Biggie for my intro because, you know, he was taken from us far too soon by supposedly some dirty LAPD cops. But we're not going to get into that. We'll just get the show
going.
Listen,
me being anti-hip-hop, I actually did – way to sound enthused about the show. I actually saw that E! True Hollywood story about it. And that black dude with the bald head in the red coat, like the red suit – he was so involved.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. They found the car in the guy's garage. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's actually, you know what, listen, we're not going to get into a hip-hop show, and if we do, we'll get Chet Bang on the phone, on the horn right now. But I watched that documentary. It was cut and dry, not even a question that he did it. Like, it wasn't even an option.
It's amazing. H.O.P.
Now, listen, LB, we're interviewing Josh Booty. We're going to give out all his statistics and why he's significant. But why are you very excited about interviewing him today?
Not only, you know, I was born April 29th. Great men were born on April. Great men and athletes were born on April 29th. He also has the same birthday, which is pretty cool. But besides that, he's an LSU guy and my second favorite place, which is creeping up closely to my first favorite place, New Orleans. I want to hear the ins and outs, where to go, where not to go, and we're going to see if we could get, you know, a celebrity on board for the trip.
I love it. I just love that we're interviewing Josh Booty. And I'm going to tell everybody before he comes on the show, one, don't tell the guest that you have the same birthday and great men were born on his birthday. Don't tell him that. That's creepy, LB. You tell me I'm the creepy guy on the show.
It's the first thing you see when you put on any Wikipedia page is a guy's birthday. And you know what? Unfortunately, the same as mine. So that's what you see right off the bat. You don't have a birthday, so don't worry about that.
We're going to get to that. You know what? We're going to talk to Josh Booty about that. He is going to tell us the ins and outs of New Orleans. Let me give you quickly how I even got him on the show. I interviewed Tim Couch.
We interviewed Tim Couch.
I apologize. You are basically my co-host now. Chuck right now is at Red Apple Sushi. And he texted me, can I do the show from the sushi place? No shot. Justin is... Big Just, he's dieting like an animal. He's doing a great job, lost 21 pounds. We can't be more proud than him. He's... We kind of think he's going to die by the end of the year, but at least he's going to go, he'll be slimmer in the casket.
Out with a bang.
Oh, he's going to go, you know what, LB, I feel bad he's going to die soon. But listen, Josh Booty, so I go on after we interview Tim Couch, and Tim Couch, who, one of the, hands down, my favorite guest, right away, he was tweeting you, he retweeted us, he did a great job. What happened is, I go on afterwards, and I see I have like maybe 20 new followers, 15 new followers, and Josh Booty's one of the followers. I go, well, it can't be the Josh Booty. Turns out it was. I throw him one message, hey, can I interview you? He said he heard the interview, he'd love to do it. So let me give you a few stats before he even calls him. The new prerequisite on the show, and I'm going to tell him now, you have to have a championship ring now, LB. We don't interview any low-time celebrities. So you know what? Matt Schaub, we do love you. We've had dinner at your house. We sit in your booth. You've been on the show for 45 minutes. I've sent you over 50 jerseys to sign for me. You can't call in anymore until you get the ring because the next guest has a World Series ring. LB, only him and Chris Canty can call now because they got a ring. Jen Dibb got a ring.
That's right.
That's it.
Well, I have a ring. I have a high school ring, so I could call up and I can get interviewed also. So if you want to go there,
I don't.
That counts.
Wait, does Mike Padmo have a ring? Wait, listen. Everyone knows Padmo when he calls in. He's actually a good caller, diehard Net fan. How about Padmo? Did I tell you this? I'm going to tell everybody, the audience. 103 people listening right now. 8 people listen. Stop listening already. I guess Booty didn't call in quick enough. Padmo texted me, hey, you guys want to interview me? LB, what the fuck has that man ever did?
Listen, besides Padmo, I break his balls more than anybody. Maybe I break his balls more than I break yours. The dude I used to drive his car when I was in high school, before I had a license, so I can't really hate on him that much. I believe he played sports in high school. I'm not really sure, but I would love to interview him, see what he brings to the table. Let's call him out on it.
He shows up at my house uninvited for the Heat game wearing the Heat uniform. He didn't even play high school basketball, whatever. Listen, on the phone right now, before we introduce him, let me let everybody know, one of the best high school football players of all time. He was on the National High School All-American team, the all-time team. Him, Namath, and Elway were the only two other quarterbacks on it. LB, in football, I know you played. You tell everybody you got the high school ring. You're the Al Bundy of the show. He threw for over 12,000 yards and 126 touchdowns. Obviously, the USA Today and Parade Football Player of the Year. High school baseball, four-time All-State shortstop. Fifth overall pick by the Florida Marlins. Let's introduce the show. The Good Life Radio Show with Mike and Larry. Josh Booty, welcome to the show, Josh. Thank you so much for doing the show, buddy.
Heck yeah, guys. I'm glad to be a part of the show tonight.
Bro, I'm beyond excited to have you on the show. And LB, you want to tell Josh why you're excited to have him on the show?
Josh, how you doing, pal? I just found out we have the same birthday, so I'm actually happy about that. Now I'm even a bigger fan of you.
Same year, too, or what?
No, definitely not the same year, but the same month and day.
Josh, I apologize. For another man to compliment another guy on his birthday, we're already off on the wrong foot.
That's hilarious. How are you guys doing tonight?
I just got home from work. Unfortunately, LB, he doesn't work, so you and I paying out taxes, I pay for him to sit home and text me about the combine and spring training baseball. So this is what we fucking have to deal with, Josh. All right, Josh, so I got a few questions for you. We're beyond excited about New Orleans. We can get to that in a second. But I just gave some of your credentials. We really can go on and on. You made your major league debut in 96. You played for LSU. You really lived a life. You played baseball, went to LSU. You lived it. In high school, you set records for football and baseball. I just gave them out quickly, 12,000 yards, 126 touchdowns. You missed a few games. You set every record possible. One of the best football players ever in high school. Why baseball over football right away?
You know, baseball was always my first love growing up, and as a little league baseball player, I would, you know, if we had a rain out or, you know, we were not able to play a game, it would destroy me. So at a young age, I just loved baseball so much, and it was kind of odd because my dad was a football guy and a football coach and played football in college and didn't know about baseball, really. I mean, he'd never been a big-time baseball player. So I was I'm the oldest of four. I have three brothers, and none of them really chose to play baseball either. I was really the only one in the family that took up the sport, and I just loved it. And I grew up watching, you know, guys like Will Clark and Don Mattingly and all those guys, and you know, that were great players in the, you know, mid to late 80s. And I just fell in love with it and you know, had some success in high school and was able to play on an Olympic team, on a junior Olympic team, actually, between my junior and senior year. And Alex Rodriguez was the shortstop. I was the third baseman. We batted 3-4 in the lineup. And I just felt like, you know, I was going to be a good enough baseball player to play at the pro level going into my senior year of baseball. And that was after just a really an unbelievable run that we had in football my senior year. And at my high school, football was such a mega sport for our high school, and that's what my high school was known for. But, shoot, I loved baseball my whole life. And then when I had such a good senior year, or had a good enough senior year to get drafted high, I felt like it was something that I'd always wanted to do, and I was going to do if I got drafted in the position that I got drafted. So it just ended up that way. I got drafted high enough that I saw kind of the light at the end of the tunnel as far as having an opportunity to get to the big leagues fast, and that's why I chose baseball out of high school.
Nice. LB, you got a question? Now, Josh, I apologize. Usually we're in the same room. We're at my house doing the interview. I just got home from work, and LB doesn't leave his couch, so we're going to have to do an interview a little unorthodox. We're not the same.
I'm on the road right now, so if you hear a big 18-wheeler next to me, that's because there is a big 18-wheeler next to me.
You got it. LB, you got a question for Josh?
Yeah, Josh, you said your father was a football coach and a football guy. I know your brother played at LSU also, and then your younger brother played for USC. Who's the best athlete in your house, in your family?
You know what, I think, I don't know, everybody kind of brought something different to the table. I had the best arm out of the family. My brother Abram, he was an All-American receiver and All-SEC receiver as a freshman at LSU and broke some national high school records receiving. Actually, the guy this year broke his high school record for yards and catches and touchdowns in the career, so he had those marks forever. He was just an all-around great player. He was a great basketball player. And JD, who played at SC, was probably the most balanced, you know, systematic type of guy. And had probably the best college career of all of us. And then I have a younger brother named Jack that he didn't play college ball, but he was a running quarterback, and none of us could have done the things he did on the field. So we all were very different. And, you know, if you line us up in the yard and we were playing ball, you know, you could choose 2 and 2, and we'd be pretty even, you know, playing any sport.
LB, is that what you upset?
No, go ahead.
I'm going to say that his family's so athletic, and then you look at your family, all you have is a smoking hot cousin. It's just sad how – it's funny how God works. Hey, Josh, did the Marlins really pay you not to play football? Is that true? Because I read that a couple places that they paid you not to play.
In my contract in 94 when I signed my contract, there was a 5-year no football clause in the contract. So I couldn't go back and play college football unless I bought myself out of that clause or – the management, you know, changed their mind. And in the middle of 98, well, after the 97 World Series team that I was on, in 98, there was a chance I wasn't going to be on the 40-man roster because they were trying to keep Bobby Bonilla, who was playing third base at the time that I was there, too. And I backed him up in 97 on that World Series team. Zeno, who owned the team, sold the team to a guy named John Henry, who later bought the Red Sox. And John Henry came to me in 98 and said, you know what, if you want out of your contract, I know how bad you want to go play football. We'll make it work. We'll make you work and we'll do something. So we negotiated a deal where I could get out of baseball and go back and play college football. And John Henry was the one to do that.
That's solid. Now, listen, you got a nice little signing bonus. What was the first thing you splurged on, or what was, like, some purchases you made with that big-time money?
Man, I remember I bought a red Lexus, and if I had to do it all over again, that's probably not what I would buy, but I bought a red Lexus car, and I drove it straight to spring training. And anyways, it was pretty funny because it was bright red, and I'm not into red cars anymore, but that's pretty funny.
Now, Josh, listen, you played down the stretch with the Marlins, and you got the World Series ring. Do you still have it? Do you still wear it? Is that like the ultimate chick magnet? I need to know that.
Yeah, funny story about this is I'm actually headed to spend the weekend with my buddy Kevin Moore, who is Major League Baseball. He was a first baseman, had his own
Josh, we're the biggest Yankee fans ever, and Kevin Millar, we're not the biggest fans of, but listen, he's your boy, but finish with the story. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let me hear the story now. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, we're about to go have dinner, but Kevin, me and Kevin were at a Super Bowl party at Harrah's in New Orleans the year that Drew Bledsoe played against Favre, and this was before the Tom Brady year, so this was quite a while ago. And he asked to borrow the ring and wear it that night, and he said, let me pimp your ring all night. And I said, sure, you can wear it, man. I don't really care. And this is before he ever won it with the Red Sox. He went to the bathroom in Harrah's, and it was a little big for him, so he set it down to wash his hands at the sink, you know, at 1 or 2 in the morning at Harrah's, and walked away and forgot that he was wearing that ring and left it there on the sink in the restroom at Harrah's Casino in New Orleans, and I've never seen it since.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I am not kidding you. And I luckily had insurance, and I haven't gotten another one since then because I didn't really wear it that much, but now that, you know, I think I can appreciate it a whole lot more, I think I'm going to go back and get it, and I've looked into that, but that I rat Kevin bad because when he won the World Series in 2004 or whatever it was, I said, you need to send me that ring, dude, because you lost mine. But anyway, that's kind of a crazy story of my World Series ring.
Someone has it
out there. If you see it on eBay, let me know.
You got it. LB, you're up?
Yeah, Josh, I got a question. Now, I hate Nick Saban. Is he as big of a dick as he looks on television? He played from what? Your last year, right? Your senior year?
First year.
Did you say Nick Saban?
Yeah, Nick Saban.
Yes.
Did you like him?
I could barely hear you. Yeah. I played my second year at LSU. I played under Nick Saban. And we had a chancellor, Mark Emmert, that brought Saban in. Mark is now the president of the NCAA. Mark Emmert had brought Saban in to be the head coach while he was the chancellor there at LSU, and no one really knew who Nick was. And he came in and really changed the culture of everything we were doing, brought in a wonderful staff. Jimbo Fisher was our offensive coordinator who's now, of course, at FSU as their head coach. And we had guys like Derek Dooley, who's the head coach of Tennessee, and Muschamp, who was our defensive coordinator, who's now at Florida. Those guys were the staff that Saban assembled at LSU, and you can see that he just put the right pieces together and started to recruit his butt off, and LSU started winning and really changed the dynamics of the culture of LSU, and that all started, you know, when I was there. Now, you know, Saban's a household name, so it was, you know, looking back on it, it's fun to say that you played for such a big-time coach.
Now, Josh, you're from Mississippi. Why LSU?
I actually was born in Mississippi. My dad was a quarterback at Mississippi State, but he grew up in Louisiana. So when I was a young guy, we moved back to Louisiana. So I went to high school and everything in Louisiana. So, you know, everybody in Louisiana, you know, LSU fans, and there was no way I was getting out of state.
Okay, now listen. We always say, we have this conversation, a bunch of us. One of our best friends, he went to UVA. He was roommate with Schaub and Canty, so they were always on the show. So we always say, if we had enough talent in high school, what schools would we go to let's be honest, for partying. We always throw Miami, UCLA. And we went to New Orleans in March, and we say LSU. Are the girls in LSU top-notch, best in the country? Is that because the girls down there were amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a good place to go. I mean, for girls, I would say it wasn't in the top 10. I'd say UT in Austin. I'd say Florida State in Tallahassee. I'd say USC way over UCLA. Arizona State and San Diego State, top 5.
I'm glad this show's on demand, because now when we write to LB, we're going to have to go to these different different colleges and start creeping. Now, listen, Josh, we went to New Orleans in March last year, and we're going again this year for Halloween. Is Halloween out of control down there? And give us Josh Booty's recommendations for Bourbon Street or New Orleans itself. We did it. We went to the Acme. We did everything. We stayed on Bourbon Street. We partied like savages. But what is your favorite memory down there, best places to go, and how's Halloween down there?
Man, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be down there next weekend. It doesn't matter when you go. New Orleans is always fun. I'm actually meeting some friends from L.A. that have never been next weekend. But, you know, there's a million great restaurants, but a couple that I really love. There's a place called Drago's, and they have char-grilled oysters that are absolutely unbelievable. If you've never had them before, you got to go to Drago's. I did a show for Fox Sports when LSU played Ohio State a few years ago in the national championship, and we did a tour around New Orleans at some of the greatest spots that New Orleans has to offer to try to showcase the city to some of the sports fans all over the country, and that was the first place we went, and man, it is unbelievable. The seafood's wonderful, and it's just a good time. A place to go where everybody likes to have fun and nightlife and partying is a gold mine. That's a great spot for, you know, really anybody, but it's always packed. It's so tough to get into, and when you get in there, it's jammed, but it's where the best-looking people in New Orleans hang out, and it's really down-to-earth. It's like a college bar, which is kind of cool because, you know, you don't have to be dressed up to the nines, and you don't have to buy bottle service. It's just a good time, and the music's awesome. So the gold mine is one that I would recommend.
We'll definitely be there. LB, you got something from LB?
Yeah, Josh, I asked Tim Couch the other day, as a former quarterback, how do you feel about this whole bounding situation going on in the NFL right now?
You know what, I think that I'm not so disturbed by it as a lot of people are. I think that, you know, there's always been awards for, you know, bone-jarring hits and trying to knock people out of the game. If you look back at the way football was meant to be played, and, you know, those guys like Dick Nitrine Lane and, you know, Singletary, they played smart, aggressive football, and they did it within the rules, but, man, they were out to absolutely whack you, you know. And a guy like Lawrence Taylor, I can remember that hit on Joe Theismann. He didn't try to hurt him. He just accidentally, you know, caught him at the wrong place at the wrong time, and he maybe damaged his career. So you hate to see that they're throwing out money for hits or knocking people out. But, man, they've been trying to knock people out of the game for a long time. I mean, and that's why these guys get paid the big bucks, because they can wreak havoc and they can knock people out of the game. So I just don't buy a lot of why everybody's disgusted by the bounties. I think that, you know, this has been happening forever. I mean, that's part of football, you know. If you don't want to play football, you don't want to get hurt, stay at home, you know. And I'm a quarterback. I didn't want to get hurt, so I just tried to get rid of the ball before they got to me.
Now, Judge, I have a two-part question that I want to hear about your charities and what you're up to now. One, what made you leave LSU early? And two, I think you went to LSU the same time as Shaq. Were you guys boys? And who was the bigger man on campus? For real, because you were the man down there.
Shaq's the biggest man in the world.
No, not the biggest man. Who was down there? Who was better? Who got more girls? Who was the man down there?
You know, Shaq went to school before I was there. He was about 5-6 years before me. We were buddies. I actually went to his graduation ceremony and was with his family and everything, and I've been around him, and he's invited me to some NBA games, but it's been a while since I've done that. But, you know, Shaq is the all-time, you know, greatest legend probably to ever lace up a cleat or a tennis shoe at LSU. So, I mean, the guy is unbelievable. Everybody does him. You can see him from a mile away. And his smile is just awesome, and he's goofy, and he's just a cool guy to be around. So I'd definitely say Shaq is daddy.
Now, Josh, right now we have around 240 listeners, so tell the audience what you're up to. And I read that you're huge into charity and stuff, so tell everybody about your charities that you do, what you're into now, and if you want to plug anything before we have a few more questions after that.
Sure. No, thanks for asking. We started Me and my father and my family, we started a sports performance nutrition company called Atleta Nutrition. Atleta Nutrition. It's A-T-L-E-T-A nutrition.com. And it's a sports performance nutrition. Atleta means athlete in a dozen languages. And we partner with high school programs, college programs, athletes, performance centers, training centers all over the country. And we offer a full line of supplements and nutritions, nutritional supplements and performance products for these athletes. So I deal with athletes on a daily basis and teams on a daily basis. And, you know, if you get a chance, look at our website, atletanutrition.com. Yeah, I've been able to do a lot, I guess, through sports, and I've been a part of a few charities. We started a baseball program in the Czech Republic for kids who'd never even, you know, had never even seen a baseball before. And we started that 10 years ago, and I've been a part of, you know, inner city youth camps, and we do football camps for, you know, inner city kids and underprivileged kids all over the country. I've been a part of a lot of different things, but I just believe in the kids, and, you know, I've got three little brothers, so I've always loved hanging with people and kids and been a part of it. My dad's a coach, so it's just kind of been part of our life.
That's awesome. Now, listen, I'll make sure I plug that on Twitter. We'll put it on Facebook and Twitter. I have two quick football questions and a fun question, and then we'll get finished up with the interview. You've been awesome. Peyton was just released. He was just released. In your opinion, where does he end up?
Where will he end up? You know, I'd like to see. My brother played with Reggie Bush, and I really like Reggie, and I'd like to see him, you know, have a chance to kind of totally redeem himself. He ended up in the year last year so well, and I'd love for him to have a great quarterback to play with. I think if he had Peyton in Miami, you know, Reggie becomes much more dangerous. And, you know, I've always kind of been a Dolphins fan. Being a Marlin in South Florida, I was a Marino guy, and I'd love to see Peyton end up in Miami.
Yeah, so do I. We're huge Giant fans. I actually, Canty got us tickets to the Super Bowl. It was the best moment of my life. I hate the Jets, so I would love to see Peyton go to Miami. Now, listen, you were drafted, sixth round. The draft is coming up. How nerve-wracking is that process, and where were you when you found out that you got drafted?
Well, in baseball, I didn't have to wait too long. In football, it seemed like
four picks.
Yeah, in baseball, man, I felt like I got drafted in the first 5 minutes of the draft. In football, it was like I didn't know if I was ever going to get drafted. And Jerry Jones had actually called me the night before the draft and said he was going to draft me in the third round if I was going to be available to get ready to be a Cowboy. He didn't think that I was going to go before the third, and he thought he could really grab me. And then the day of the draft came the next day, and the Cowboys drafted Quincy Carter, quarterback from Georgia, who's a multi-sport guy, in the second round. And I was like, wait a minute, you know, I heard from Jerry Jones last night, but I guess they had a change of mind overnight, and I was bummed like crazy because I went from thinking I was going to be a third round pick to a sixth round pick, and there was not many quarterbacks chosen kind of between that third and fifth round. So I was, you know, I was heartbroken. But at the same time, Mike Holmgren drafted me, and I was trying to stay positive and say, well, I got a great offensive mind that drafted me, and hopefully that'll work out. But, you know, that's kind of – that draft day stuff is so crazy. And when you start to fall – you just like, you know, there's nothing you can do about it but just hope, you know. So it was tough, and that was a hard day.
Well, you know what? Well, I'll say it for all Giant fans, and I'll say it for you. Jerry Jones, douchebag. All right, listen, if we grab.
Thank God he didn't go to the Cowboys. Look how great that worked out for him. Didn't Quincy Carter get bounced out 3 years? Terrible pick. See, Jerry Jones is a bump. Thank God you didn't go there, Josh.
All right, listen, Josh. Right now, if I take your cell phone and I scroll through it, besides me, who's the coolest person right now in Josh Booty's phone?
The coolest person in my cell phone. My brother's right here with me, so he'd say it was him. But
It better not be Kevin Millar.
I got some good ones in there. I got Snoop Dogg. I got O.J. Simpson. I got Tommy Lasorda. I mean, who do you want?
You want that big Tommy?
O.J. Simpson's allowed phones in prison?
What did you say?
O.J. Simpson's allowed phones in prison now.
I don't know. Maybe it's an old song.
All right, Josh, couple more questions. I always want to know this. Was there a lot of pressure on you being the can't-miss prospect? Best football player, best baseball player. Was there a lot of pressure on you?
Oh, man, big time. There wasn't – in baseball, I was kind of removed because you're in the minor leagues and you're not playing in that – you're not playing in that major league town or that city. Like, you know, because media is so tough these days, if I was having to play my minor league games in that major league town, then Miami, you know, that media would have been tough. But when you're off in minor league cities all over the country, you know, the Miami media doesn't pay attention to you. So baseball wasn't nearly as tough as football. The microscope is crazy on you at LSU, and, you know, that's really tough if you don't win at LSU. It's really tough, and our first year we didn't, and it was really tough. The second year we turned it around, and it was, you know, much better, and that's when Saban came into town. But, you know, at these big universities, you know, you football schools, the Alabamas, the LSUs, the Floridas, the Texas, the USC, the Penn States and Ohio State's, the world, you better have your chin strap buckled up if you're going to be the quarterback, because there's so much that goes on outside of being a quarterback in the game. You know, there's so much. It's almost like you're an NFL quarterback, and there's a lot of stuff that you have to do to represent yourself well and to handle the media and the scrutiny and the fans, and it's just it's all the time. And that's the fun part, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds beyond fun. Now, I'm going to keep you on the phone for another 2 minutes. I'll be killed if I don't ask this question. Would you mind talking about it's famous. You know it's famous. It was on TMZ. It was everything. You were arrested, and you were famously tased. Can you tell the audience, because I already got like 5 or 6 texts, like, you're a box, you're a pussy if you don't ask them. I have to ask you what happened that day.
Man, it was it's a crazy story, and it might take longer than 2 minutes.
No, it's all you, man. I actually got
pulled over. I had a bunch of people in the car, and we had been out in Newport Beach, and I got pulled over, and I was asked to blow, and I'd had a couple drinks, and I decided to do it because I felt like I could, and I wouldn't blow a .08 with the legal limit. So I blew, and they said I blew a .10, which is just right a hair above the legal limit. So I was like, man, this sucks. And they ended up taking me in that night, and instead of taking me to Newport, they took me to Santa Ana, which is the high security prison in Southern California, and it's like night and day from Newport, and I was right on the border where they picked me up. So they said, man, we're going to take you to Santa Ana. Well, when I walked in, they admitted me, you know, into the jail, and I was going to have to, you know, stay a few hours, and then in the morning I could leave. They were checking me in, and these cops just came over and picked me up, threw me into the wall, started beating me, hitting me. They broke two of my orbital bones and my eye. I got a broke rib. I mean, they completely just beat me up for no reason. And I ended up having to go to the hospital about 30 minutes later, and stayed in the hospital all night, and came back the next morning, and they released me from the jail, and I've got broke orbital bones, a rib, just been absolutely beat up by these jailers in jail. And and it was crazy because when I got out of jail, when I got out that next morning, I'd never been in handcuffs my whole life, you know. I mean, I'd never been in any kind of problem. And I went straight to Hogue Hospital there in Newport to get checked out, and I turned the TV on, and it said, you know, TMZ and Yahoo on the internet and all that was hitting it up saying that I had been drunk and belligerent and resisted arrest and
disorderly.
It's a complete lie and they were just doing it to save face and that came out on the wire or over the wire that I had been drunk and belligerent and all that, and I'm like, wait a minute. So I got attorneys and we fought that case and all those guys got fired and the head of the police chief got fired. So there actually was about six or seven other cases against those jailers where they hurt people. They actually tased one guy 10 times, put him in a coma, and he died 2 days later. So they had some serious issues up there, and it was just I was there at the wrong time, wrong place at the wrong time, and I was just unlucky. But my eyes fine and everything. It's just I went through it that night, and I shouldn't have. But there was no reason I should have been in there to begin with. But all those accusations that you see online are false, and we won that battle.
Now, Josh, go, LB.
I was just saying, you can never trust cops. It's unbelievable what they think they can get.
All right,
away.
Listen, Josh, I don't tell anyone what I do on the show. Like my audience, you know what I do. So when you,
yeah,
like when I was getting ready to interview you, I looked up your stuff, and it said that you were like 1.09. And then you read belligerent, like, 0.08, like, that's not belligerent drunk. Like, when I first read it, like, your famous mugshot, I'm like, he must have been.
Sense. I have the video, and I haven't shown it to, America or to anybody except my attorneys and my family, and that's just because I just didn't want it to be brought up again, and I don't want to even, it doesn't even look right, me even being inside of a jail. It just is weird. And so I just almost want the thing to just go away, but at the same time, I want to tell the story because I did blow a .10 or whatever, and I was right above the legal limit. But dude, I promise you, I'm not that dumb, and there's no way I'm fixing to go in there and try to start a bunch of crap in a jailhouse. I mean, that's the dumbest thing you can do in America. So I was just praying to God. I was trying to kill him with kindness so I could get out of there quicker, not stay in there forever and get beat up.
Now, Josh, I got two more quick questions for you. What's your biggest regret in your sports career? You won a ring, you played at LSU, NFL, you did it all. You really did the American dream. Do you have your biggest regret, like, shit, I wish I would have done this differently?
Well, I have two, really. I think it was hard to – I wish I wouldn't have gave up baseball so fast.
Okay.
And then – I wish I would have chosen a better timing on when I went back to play at LSU. And because LSU was not very good when I went and they had to build that program, I wish I would have gone to LSU at a time like now when they've got all the horses, all the best players, around you. And I think I would have been just ultra successful because I'd have had some superstars around me.
Yeah, I was going to say, instead of you being the focal piece, you could have been the missing piece instead of the focal piece that they built around.
Exactly. And in sports, it's like you're only as good as the people around you, in the system, or you're just dead in the water. And, in baseball, you can hit 300 and you don't have to have anybody else help you. But in football, you can't win without a great team.
Not at all. And now listen, are you a memorabilia guy? Do you collect any memorabilia? Do you have any of your favorite memorabilia from games?
I do. I've got an O.J. Simpson helmet at the house.
What's this infatuation with O.J., Josh?
No, I'm just kidding. I collected baseball cards when I was young, so I've got just tons of baseball cards, and I've got autographs from, a lot of my buddies and people I play with. I kind of collected as I went through sports.
All right. Well, Josh, listen, this is a two-part question then because you just mentioned that. One, how cool is it to get your first baseball card? When you see yourself, is that just surreal?
Yeah, that was fun. I have my dad has a thing in the house where he has almost all of my baseball cards on his wall and some – like plaques form fashion thing you put together. But, no, it's really neat. Even as I go back, I'm like, man, did I really play baseball? Because I can't hardly remember it because it's been so long ago now. And, you know, I did play football, and I'm kind of far removed from baseball. But that was really neat. And because I was such a big card collector, that was fun to see.
And, you know, a big reason why you don't remember baseball is because that asshole Kevin Millar loses your fucking ring. How are you going to... Now, Josh, real quick.
Oh, I promise you, I let him know. I let him hear about it every time I see him. I'm like, dude, give me that Red Sox ring to make up for that Marlins ring.
Listen, Josh, I have a guy who makes jerseys. So I'm going to get a jersey made up of you. I'm going to send it to you, and you sign it for me. Because in my house, I have Yankee seats. That's my only memorabilia, two seats from Yankee Stadium. And anyone, like, I have a million Schaub and Canty jerseys because I just sent to them. But I'm sending Couch one. Anyone who I interview on the show, I send them a jersey. So if I get one made up of you, I'll send it to you, and you sign it for me. I can hang it in my bar in my house. That's cool?
Heck, yeah. Send it to me, but I'll be right back to you.
All right, Josh, here's the deal. We're going to let you go. LB, you want to say goodbye to Josh before I finish it up?
Josh, it was great having you. Hopefully you come back on soon. Maybe you should meet us down in New Orleans Halloween weekend. It's going to be a good time.
That'd be fun. No, I appreciate you guys for having me. It's been a blast, and I'll do it anytime you guys want me on.
Now, Josh, I'm going to finish up with this. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to meet up with Kevin Millar. Obviously, you have my cell phone number. We've been texting back and forth. Talk to Kevin Millar. Ask him if he'll come on the show. Obviously, I'll email him. I won't be an asshole. I know he's your boy. I want to talk to him about the Yankee-Red Sox rivalry and baseball and stuff. So see if he'll do my show. And text me if he'll do it, all right?
All right. I'll ask
Josh,
him.
And listen, real quick, Josh, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to apologize 6 months in advance. Because when I'm in New Orleans, and I'm around New Orleans with all these girls, I'm like, listen, Josh Booty's my boy. When I text you at 3 in the morning, you're going to have to answer it to give me some street cred in Birmingham.
I'll give you some street cred. I don't know. New Orleans is kind of crazy. It's people from all over the place. You'd have to go to Baton Rouge to get some street cred.
Plug your website one more time.
Elitanutrition.com. We have pure energy shots. We got like 5-hour energy shots. Ours are called pure energy shots. No sugar, no carbs, no calories, no sodium. PureEnergyShots.com as well. It's a part of ElitaNutrition.com, and you won't find better supplements out there for athletes today.
Josh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. I really mean it, bro. This was more fun than I even thought. You were honest and open about everything. Thank you for being on the Good Life Radio Show, and I want to text later on. Let me know what Kevin Millar says, all right?
I will. Thanks, bud. Hey, y'all have a good night. All right.
Thank you, Josh.
Be good.
Bye. LB, Josh Booty, that could be one of the best interviews we've ever done.
That was great. But listen, I'm not going to try. I don't want to blow you up in front of him, but you're not a memorabilia. Guy, you have all those dolls in your room like you're a 7-year-old. Are you kidding me?
Hold on. First of all, those aren't dolls. They're collectible figures. That's number one. So we're going to...
That's what a grown man calls a doll, a collectible figure. Come on.
Two, Josh Booty off the hook. And listen, you know, I only scheduled the show for 45 minutes. We have a minute left. I'm down on this guy, but let's put him on the phone. Elwood!
Yo.
Elwood, hey, listen, bro. We have a minute 23 left in the show. I tweeted you all day. I wanted to do a Peyton Manning thing, Elwood. It's all I wanted to do.
I'm sorry. I just got your... I just checked my computer thing, and I saw it, and I thought, oh, I'll get over there. I might have time. I've not been a happy camper. It's like a funeral in this town.
Elwood, listen to me. Are you free tomorrow or Saturday for real? What day is best for you?
To tell you the truth, I don't know because I'm working a second job, so it's a little crazy for me. Plus, Indianapolis is just really down in the dumps. I mean, they've had psychologists and stuff on TV telling people how to deal with grief. I mean,
I don't mean to cut you off. You know the website we use, Blog Talk Radio. We only have 38 seconds left. I gotta say goodbye, Elwood. I'm down. I really wanted the Peyton Manning spot. Listen, Elwood. I'm going to tweet you inbox. You got to let me know because I really want to hear everything about Indianapolis. So, Elwood, I'm going to let you go. Thank you, buddy. Yeah. LB, we got 30 seconds left. Say goodbye.
See you later.
Oh, thanks, LB. I'm really – Elwood, I wanted to do the Josh Booty right to Peyton Manning. All right, listen. Thank you, Josh Booty. We have a sponsor. I should have started the show with this. It's hotteddeals.com. HOTTEDEALS.com. HOTTEDEALS.com. Hotteddeals.com. Go to it. I should have started the Josh Booty interview with that. That's a bad job. I'm not getting paid for that sponsor. All right. Thank you, everybody. This is The Good Life. Josh Booty, LB, L Woods. Thank you. Everyone have a good night.